Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com worldwide. And, you know, there are many guests that we love to re-invite to our program. And, well, let's take the top 10. No, the top 5. Oh, no. Let's take the top number 1 as we welcome Loretta Brennan-Luxman. Good morning to you, Loretta.
Good morning, Adrian. And I bet you say that to all the girls and boys.
But I
don't care. I love it.
No, but I will now that you remind me, you know. Loretta, first of all, you are indeed very welcome. And indeed, you've been part of Irish Radio Network, part
yes.
of our family, going back 30 years, and we were
very
delighted
proudly.
When time allowed, you hosted indeed your program on Irish Radio Flannelly Promotions.
I loved it. Yes.
I want to ask you, Loretta, about the reconstruction, let us say, of Glucksman Ireland House at NYU.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, maybe you bring us back to how old the building is to begin with.
I should have done my homework, Adrian, and I apologize because I love the that's why I love the show. I always learn things. But it's over 150 years old, the building itself. That whole Muse building was built as stables originally for big houses on Washington Square.
Wow.
And then over the years, actually very quickly before the turn of the century, they were converted into housing for the servants who worked in the big houses on the square. And Lou and I always loved that symbolism that the most of the servants were indeed Irish, as you well know,
mm-hmm.
especially the women who worked in the houses. And they're just in two cases when we bought it 33 years ago now, there were several families, just two or three, that had were related way back to the original servants. They were
wow.
Irish descendants, and their progeny were then on faculty at NYU, and isn't that a great story for the Irish immigrant? There's
absolutely.
So many of them, as,
yeah.
as we all know, thanks to people like Peter Quinn, and so many of them that have been writing about our heritage.
Yeah.
So often.
Yeah.
But when we bought the two little N buildings, we wanted to get the third and if we could, the fourth, but they couldn't spare those other two
mm-hmm.
faculty dwellings. So we just did the two, and that's what we've been functioning on all these over 30 years now. And as you know, you and Onya come like loyal friends, and you know how tiny the space is and how we packet full of wonderful people, but we do need more space, and we're on that quest again with our wonderful new dean for arts and sciences, Dean Andrew Merlo, who has been with us now for almost over 5 years, and he's just a breath of fresh air, and he gets us. He loves the Irish, and he comes to so much at Glucksman Ireland House, so he's got our back. And we're hoping that we'll be able at least to expand at least into number 3, if not number 4. But we will
wow.
be very, very patient and very grateful if we can get number 3. But right now, if you go
yeah.
down there, Adrian, all the scaffolding is gone. You can see the sweet little building as it was in the lovely red brick. And it's not impeded by anything. And theoretically, at least the roof doesn't leak, and everything is ship-shape. So I haven't been down yet because of the time that's in it. You just don't move around the way you once
right.
did. But I was hoping to go down this past week, but couldn't make that work. So now I'm hoping for this coming week. But I'll get there sooner rather than later.
Terrific. Loretta, first of all, Washington Muse. You're not going to get a more prestigious address, you know, in New York. And, in fact, houses, you know, the stone brick houses at Washington Muse, you actually don't see many of them existing anywhere.
No.
Yeah. Are they landmarked, those?
They are not, but it's an excellent question. There, over the years, there were some movements, to landmark, streets like that. First
yeah.
of all, that were cobblestoned, that had the old buildings on both sides of the street. And
mm-hmm.
as you said, there are not very many. There are just, I think, two
yeah.
or three
yeah.
that are the actual Muse. And Washington Muse is one of them. And I always enjoyed, I think I talked to you and Anya about this in one of our terrific conversations. I love the idea that the Irish that were living in the servants' quarters now have the head of the block facing on Fifth Avenue, and it's an Irish house to welcome all Americans. I love that symbolization, to me anyway.
Yes.
It's, the Irish are here, and we're at the top of the Muse.
Terrific. Well, that would bring us back, of course, 30 solid years. First of all, Lou and you bought the dust 33 years ago. And let me ask you, what kind of shape were those buildings in at that time? Had they?
Well, observably, they looked all right, Adrian. But we were looking with a very loving and optimistic eye. We were not looking for flaws. So we went forward with renovations, but we were told we didn't have to do structural renovations. What we did was merge, break through the wall between number one and number two.
Yeah.
And that was no big deal. And then form the very, very restricted space that we've worked in now for over 30 years. It's amazing what work has been accomplished there with given the lack of space.
Yeah.
I should know the square footage, and next time I speak
yeah.
on your program, I will have that.
Well, you probably
ready.
Have more by then, so you can
I
let
hope
this.
So. From your lips to God's ears. God bless you. Yeah, absolutely. We hope so.
Loretta, Lou Glucksman, your husband, and yourself have been involved in philanthropic endeavors actually for a good four decades and some beyond that. But the focusing on education, the arts, healthcare, and peace initiatives in both the United States and Ireland.
Yes.
You know, that was a passion that both of you shared from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Now, was Lou and his interest, of course, he was a very successful Wall Street executive. And can you bring us back to that period and again? For
I always love this part of the story, Adrian, and that's why you're such a pro. You always lead me to this because I love it. Lou was born a Hungarian Jew, and his parents were both immigrants. from Hungary. And they were very, they had a very close community on the Upper West Side. In fact, Lou was born on West End Avenue. He lived there through his childhood. He went to DeWitt Clinton High School in the Bronx. And he had a very New York immigrant experience. He joined the Navy, the U.S. Navy, when he was 17. And he always said that changed his life. He loved the discipline of the Navy. He loved the sea. And then, as God would smile and would draw him to the North Sea as a, on a submarine chaser, he was stationed just like 5 miles off the coast of Ireland. So they would be, the submarines would be 2 weeks down under and then 1 week up on furlough. Whenever he had the furlough, he made a beeline to Ireland. And he went around the whole of Ireland, mostly in the north and the border, to visit the places where his favorite Irish writers had lived and worked. So he knew the country so well when we met in 1983. And I, being a third generation, my parents and grandparents, my grandparents came over, they were of the generation where they had the Irish wake when they left Ireland, never to return again. That was not in anyone's expectations. So I had never dreamed of going to Ireland, and Lou took me in 1983, and we visited, we landed in Shannon and visited Limerick and Cork and just the southern part, but I was hooked. And we had a great adventure, Lou teaching me the geography of Ireland for the next several years. And one thing led to another, and Lou was a very active trustee of NYU, and yes. NYU had a very active academic section of immigrant studies. They had Spanish, Greek, Russian, German, all kinds of ethnic studies, and they had centers for them on campus. So Lou said, why not an Irish center? And fortunately, the president of NYU at the time was Jay Oliva, who had the great benefit of having an Irish mother. So he was interested, and they plotted and came up with the idea for Ireland House, and Lou made it happen.
It was, and indeed, remembering, again, going back to our affiliation in your radio days with us, I believe that when it must have been, if not the very first program, that you hosted on Irish radio, I think it was Jay Oliva and and Lou and the Glucksmann, you know, pair. And he
loved that.
Amazing, but he was an amazing person in the sense that he, you know, he lived and breathed, you know, his ethnicity and his deep concern for, you know, for immigrants. And
absolutely,
that was, you know, if you went back to those days, that was, you know, that was a rare topic out front.
And
then, sorry.
Remember, Adrian, Jay had his own Irish band and played in pubs, and they were quite good. And he was so proud of that. He was just proud of his Irishness.
Yes.
Very proud.
And more than aware of, you know, the plight of the immigrants.
Absolutely.
Special favor to, indeed, Irish immigrants. Now, I want to ask you about the curriculum, the founding. How was it received that there would be, you know, an Ireland House, a center for Irish studies. Did that ruffle any feathers? Did everybody care? Did anybody say, well, why an Irish and not an Italian, not a Greek, not a whatever? Was that even an issue?
No, because, see, there was an Italian and a Greek and a Spanish. They were there already, these centers. And some of them had their own houses, like the Italian house. I forget how to say it in Italian right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman who funded all that was a glorious Italian woman, and she was also a trustee. And Lou and I came to know her quite well. And she used to come out. She loved Ireland House. And, it was Casa Italiana. And, of course, the Casa was very grand, if you please. It was on West 10th Street. Very pretty. One of those old brownstones. Five floors and just beautiful. And done up to the nines, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had a very good academic program. But she was very interested in how we drew the community in, because it was fascinating to me that the Italian-American community was not as hungry or didn't seem mm-hmm. to be as interested in an academic center. There was no community involvement at all. There was good university involvement. They had great students, great teachers, and really good public programs. But what we knew from the very beginning, when Bob Scally, God bless him, our first academic director, who had been at the university, he was a teacher of history, very respected, and he became our first academic director. And then he got Dennis Donahue, a wonderful scholar from Ireland, to come from Ireland and teach at Bruxman Ireland House, which he did. And mm-hmm. Dennis was very revered intellectual and author. And he and Lou formed such a great friendship. It was one of the most important friendships in Lou's life. And it just was as though God had all the pieces ready and waiting, Adrian. It was like just say the word and we'll put mm-hmm. this together, because it just all fell in place so well and so beautifully, and still there 30 years later.
You know, Loretta, it was such a pleasure. You hosted a rather small event at your home, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and to see the Bob Scally, not only Bob Scally, but over the 30 years, you know, and to see those amazingly enthusiastic supporters that mm-hmm. weren't just blowing in because it was the 30th anniversary, but rather having, you know, having served, you know, maybe again, just selecting one in particular, Ted Smith. You know, Ted, former, you know, diplomat for the Irish government and businessman supreme, you know, times and so many others, that the enthusiasm is as strong as it was at any point, you know, before, at a time when we're all bemoaning the fact with tremendous, you know, regret that so many, due to the pandemic, that so many organizations and their which just fizzled and through no fault of their own. But it was an amazing gathering, you know, to see, hey, wait a minute, without missing a beat.
Exactly.
You know, this was it. And, hey, we have a new roof. The pointing is done.
Now we're open to business again. Because I think, thank you for those lovely words, Adrian. I think in addition to all that academic excellence, the Thursday nights with the public programs were part of my favorite part of the mission, because that's when we opened the whole house to the community. And boy, did the community come. They just would gather. There's fascinating speakers each week, and various groups use the house as for their meetings and discussions.
Yes.
So it really has been adopted and taken in with love and gratitude by the Irish American community. And you and I talked very often about the talks that we held at Glucksman Ireland House with some of the people from Northern Ireland in the early 90s.
Yeah.
When it was very, very dicey back home. And and John Timoney, God bless his soul, he was an NYPD, and he was a proud Irishman, actually having been born in Ireland. And he suggested that we do that, bring some of the guys from the north, bring them together with the policemen. And that was unheard of, but it worked.
But not only was it unheard of, but there were, you know, 1,001 political, you know, concerns about not doing it. Like, would we do it? What would it be like?
And it was, Adrian, remember, it was, which pub would we do it in?
Absolutely.
And we all knew that that was not a good idea, much as I loved every one of our Irish pubs.
Yeah.
But it needed a different kind of place, a different kind of tone. And Ireland House did it. And they responded. And we had four meetings there through the troubles and into the talks. And I'm so grateful for those people that were so involved in those last crucial days. Like Dermot Gallagher,
he was such
a wonderful statesman, and he was our ambassador, as you know, and very useful and clever at home, and then also Ian Paisley, he came and he never would come before, and he terrified me in the beginning. We became such dear friends, and I still, well, I haven't since the pandemic, but I used to talk with Eileen, his widow, quite regularly. He turned into the statesman that he wanted to be, and he always said that started it in one of the trips to Glucksman Ireland House.
Yeah.
And that's a turning point.
Wasn't a passing phrase, because he kept referring to it. And, you know, before the decision was made, you know, with respect to having, you know, and making that a meeting place for those who, indeed, throughout the world, appeared like all they wanted to do was annihilate one another. Before
exactly.
that decision yep. was made, there was no place that would offer
Mm-mm.
the neutral ground
exactly.
that, you know, the Glucksman Ireland House was there. And, you know, heated arguments, many, you know, with very good reason, and
mm-hmm.
this trust was, you know, very prominent. If we went back to talk about the atmosphere, you know, at that time and during those years, you know, it was as intense here in America as it was in Ireland, and definitely in Northern Ireland, and on the border.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the border where you know, you had factions. And again, I think the distrust, you know, the unionists looked at, in particular,
mm-hmm.
looked at America and said, well, we know what that crowd is about, particularly the Irish Americans. So it was not only useful, but they got to, you know, the Northern Ireland, the parliamentarians of parliamentarians, I should say, they had an opportunity to meet a type of Irish that they didn't know where to find them before this. People of all backgrounds coming together with no, you know, no grudge, you know, no chip on the shoulder, other than to do good. It was incredible.
It was an amazing experience, and I'll be forever grateful to everyone who had the courage to try it in the beginning, because it did take courage for them. Huge.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it, and thank God the world, and God, I have to think and say, made it worth their while, and it did change the world. And I, too, I still believe and want to hope that it will always be this, that this experience in Northern Ireland will always stand at an, as a lesson for guns and bombs are not the solution. Never can be, never will be. And I'm also grateful, Adrian, that we're getting ready to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement on April 25th.
Yeah.
And that hero, George Mitchell, will be there. And George has had a tough time because he's been quite ill. He's had leukemia, and he's, as I am, in our eighth decade. But he will be there. And we will, I hope, to be there. And Colin McCann, our wonderful writer.
Super,
Has George has given Colin permission to edit down George's speech for the day, and we're going to publish it as a pamphlet, like Ben Franklin did back in the day, and we're going to have 1,000 for Belfast, 1,000 for Dublin, 1,000 for New York, and then several hundreds to give out in other Irish centers in Ireland and in other places throughout the world. So I'm so excited, and I'm so grateful to George Mitchell, who continues to be a hero.
And how? Now, can we talk about the honorees? And this is the 11th annual gala.
That somehow is more astounding to me, Adrian, than the 30 years of the house.
I can't believe we've
had 11 of these. Wow, it's amazing.
And as with each of the former 10 galas, we'd like to, of course, first of all, talk about the varied awards, not the least of which we might start with the Seamus Heaney Award for Arts and Letters. There was a time when those tongue-in-cheek might say that when Seamus Heaney got to Glucksman Ireland House, he was reluctant to leave. You'd nearly have to flash the lights.
He loved it. It was his kind of place. So we're delighted that this year the recipient of the Seamus Heaney Award in Arts and Letters will be Edna O'Brien, a phenomenal writer who continues to write vastly important work. And she is happy to accept. So we're thrilled that she will be with us. And then we give the Lou Glucksman Award in Ethical Business, and the recipient of that is Bob McCann.
Bob McCann,
is a great member of our Irish American community and had very, very powerful positions in Merrill Lynch and then at USB, and he's now running his own fund very successfully. So he's receiving that award. And then the Pete Hamill Award for journalism is Maureen Dowd. And we all love Maureen. She's not only a great journalist, truly great journalist, she's a very proud Irish woman.
Absolutely.
And so Maureen will be with us, and that's a big, that's cause for a celebration by itself. So all good, all three wonderful people, and
yeah.
I look forward to celebrating them. And then we've just had a special award this year for academic excellence for Andy Hamilton, who is the outgoing president of NYU. He's just been with us at NYU for about 6 years or so. I'm not even sure. It's not very long. And he's retiring. He came to us from Oxford, and he's going back to England. He'll be semi-retired, but he's been such a great president and particularly good to Glucksman Ireland House. So
yes,
that'll be a happy reunion.
It definitely will. Now, both Áine Sheridan and I don't know whether she's in cahoots with Ted Smith or not, but the indication is that this might be a wonderful conversation, but will we ever start flogging tickets? And I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Not too much.
Yeah, it's becoming kind of annoying approach at this stage. Great, great, great. What about the gala? The gala is taking place actually where the first gala
absolutely
started now 11 years ago in the Kimmel Center.
Kimmel Hall, yep.
Kimmel Hall. For university life at NYU. That's at 60 Washington Square South at NYU. And it is a fantastic place, a lovely place.
It's a great venue, and we were there for several years until the pandemic closed the campus.
Yeah.
And then we went to the Rainbow. We were out of business the 1 year.
Right.
And then when we came back, we went to the Rainbow Room, which, you know, Adrian, was terrific and very spiffy, but it just wasn't us. It just felt that, you know, we were pretending somehow. This wasn't our usual digs, and it was successful, thank God, and thank all our loyal members.
And in fairness, Loretta, it was a great photo op. I mean, let's face it.
It was, those windows and that view, my goodness, it was fabulous.
However, we're coming home, and rightly so.
I think we're all ready, absolutely.
And that's the Kimmel Center, friends, is at 60 Washington Square South. I'll give you a couple, but the email is ireland.gala@nyu.edu, phone number 212-998-3950. Now, having said that, there's Carla Capone, I know, is actually doing what she does best and
running the place.
Yeah, amazing. Now, Carla Capone is the event organizer, you can reach her at it's carla@carlacapone.com. That's carla@carlacapone.com. Cherish the Ladies will be providing the.
They will indeed.
Yeah, and it's really an event to look forward to. And again, this is on the 27th. The 27th of February. A fabulous evening, and what a fantastic selection of honors and honorees.
Exactly.
Again.
Well, thank you for that wonderful setup, Adrian. You do that better than anyone, and you must have been doing it for a few years, my friend.
Yep. Well,
helping so many of us, and
it's under
wonderful
pressure, though. You know, you know how life goes sailing along, and then, you know, this bulldozer come from the side and you have to move yourself. Well, that's kind of
exactly. But we have helped one another, seen one another through some bulldozers, and we're still here.
Absolutely. Loretta Brennan Glucksman, you know, not only a dear friend of ours, but again, somebody who has, with her late husband, of now, you know, more than going back 33 years to just buying, you know, two iconic small-ish
tiny
at Washington Mews, friends, and then working out what would be in a most amazing and amazingly successful, you know, marriage with NYU, again, providing so many thousands of undergraduate and graduate courses, the Center for Irish Studies. And again,
well,
thank you.
My friend, I want to thank you so sincerely, Adrian, for doing so very much over these three decades to keep us, Ireland House, tiny little speck on the map down in the village, keeping us in tune and in touch with our Irish American community. We would have had very little success if we didn't have this powerful voice making sure we stayed in touch with our community, which is one of the reasons for our existence. And that is your contribution, and for which we'll be forever grateful. So thank you for this and for 30 wonderful years of your generous and loving help. We so appreciate you and own you.
Loretta, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
and
my friend.
We look forward to a successful, indeed, 11th gala coming up again on the 27th. Again, God bless. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide.